We're joined on the fourth edition of the Saturday Spotlight on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 by Doug Cifu, co-owner of the Florida Panthers. Doug, thanks very much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Big win last night, first off. And we're going to kind of talk about, you know, how you came to become an owner and what it's like to be an owner. But I first want to say, you know, win over Phoenix, I always say, Arizona last night. And Roberto Luongo has been pretty good for you guys so far. What's been your thoughts on the season to this point?
You know, I got to tell you, I'm pretty happy with the season thus far. I mean, we just came off a four-game road trip where we got 6 out of 8 points, and frankly, we were in every game. Obviously, we could have had four wins and, you know, a couple bounces here, a call or two there, and we would have had four wins. This is a very, very different team than last year's team. You know, we made a lot of improvements in the offseason. As you said, you know, Luongo continues to stand on his head, and the one thing Dale Talon has taught me about hockey teams is being strong up the middle, and that starts with your goalie, is really paramount. So Luongo has kept us in, frankly, every game pretty much this season. We're playing great team defense. You know, Willie Mitchell, Ekblad looks like the second coming of Ray Bourque. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I'm really, really excited about this team.
I want to get more into the Panthers a little bit, Doug, but I first want to go back to, you know, you growing up before you become, obviously, an owner of an NHL team, and you grew up in New York. Was hockey the big sport in your household, or was this a baseball house, football? What was the big one growing up?
Yeah, no, I mean, athletically, I was never much of an athlete, so I was much more of a fan, if you will. But I did grow up on Long Island in the mid to late 70s. It's when the Islanders franchise started. Mm-hmm. You know, Clark Gillies was my neighbor. You know, Pot Van was always around, both Pot Vans. You know, Mike Bossy was like a folk hero. And as I told Mr. Torrey, I was unhappily a Ranger fan, and he pretty much ruined my childhood because I was in high school from 1979 to 1983, which were the years that the Islanders won the Cup, and I had to watch Bobby Nystrom and other guys parade around my high school with the Stanley Cup. But definitely was a huge hockey fan growing up. In fact, the first hockey game I went to was, I think, 1974, 1975, was an old Eastern League team called the Long Island Ducks that played in the Comac Arena out on Long Island. I think they were the model for the movie Slapshot. So that's I grew up watching a lot of hockey as a kid.
So you grew up on Long Island despising the Islanders.
I did, yeah. It's an interesting way to grow up. New Yorkers, I know you guys are way out west, but New Yorkers, you're typically either an old New York sports fan, so you like the Rangers, the Knicks, the Yankees, and the Giants, or you're a like new New York sports fan, so you like the Islanders, the Jets, the Mets, and I guess the Nets on some level. And I was an old sports New York sports guy, not a new New York sports guy.
Do you have a favorite Ranger growing up?
You know, I guess it'd probably have to be J.D., John Davidson. You know, he was a fantastic goalie, maybe one of the first, you know, prototypical larger goalies. I didn't actually realize what a big man he was until one of the recent NHL owner meetings I was at, and I had the good fortune of sitting near J.D. and spending some time with him. But I loved him in 79 when the Rangers made the finals. He had a great run there. Unfortunately, ran into a great Canadiens team, but he was a terrific, terrific goalie and a hero of mine as a kid.
Now, Doug, you attended Columbia Law School and you worked at Paul Weiss, a law firm in New York after that. When you were going through law school and then working at the firm, did you keep an active eye on the NHL or were you just focused on the work that you were doing at that time?
I did. No, I was a Ranger season ticket holder. I sat in Blue Heaven. It was, as we called it, it was the upper tier of the old Madison, well, the current Madison Square Garden. They've since reconfigured it. Mm-hmm. It was the upper deck, and it was, I vaguely remember, like $12 a game or something like that. I had probably the worst section, if you will, from a viewing perspective, but it was one of these great sections where everybody knew each other, and they would be like, we'd run a pool on, you know, first fight, first goal, that kind of thing, and chanting. And so I went to Columbia College and Columbia Law School, so I was a season ticket holder from the mid-80s through the Stanley Cup year, like 94, 95.
What stands out most about that year?
You know, the run to the Cup was just incredible. I mean, New York, you know, I know you guys come from a rich hockey heritage. You know, New York is a great hockey town. It really is. You know, great embedded love for the Rangers. The fan base here is unbelievably passionate, as I know it is out where you guys are. But it had just been so many years of, you know, those chants of, you know, 1941 kind of thing, and so many years of frustration, and so many years of almost winning that it was really a magical season. Because as well, you know, I'm sure you know the Knicks were in the finals that year as well. So the combination of both New York teams making a run at the championship, and then of course, you know, the great game sevens, beating the Devils, which was a lot of fun, and Messier essentially guaranteeing and then delivering a cup is something as a New Yorker you'll never forget.
Joined by Doug Cifu, co-owner of the Florida Panthers, on Saturday Spotlight on TSN 1290. Doug, how did you meet your co-owner, Vinny Viola?
Well, I was, as you said before, as a practicing lawyer here in New York. Vinny, Mr. Viola, is a, you know, a very prominent businessman, entrepreneur. And as many prominent businessmen entrepreneurs go, he needed legal representation, and I happened to be in the right place at the right time. And he called me up one day. I had heard of him from some other clients. He's kind of a well-known guy around New York, and came for a visit, and we clicked personally and professionally, and represented him for a number of years. And so we developed a real close professional working relationship, which became, you know, a very, very close personal friendship pretty quickly.
So what prompted your interest then in the Florida Panthers?
You know, so Vinny and I own and operate a big electronic trading firm here, and we've made a number of other investments together. And, you know, he's a great sports fan himself, played lightweight football at Army, and, you know, he and I would go to Ranger games and Net games together. Vinny had been a minority owner of the New Jersey Nets. And we always said to each other, hey, we're going to own a sports team together because, one, you know, we were just two kids growing up sports fans. We thought that'd be an unbelievable, great, fun thing to do together, number one. And number two, we thought, hey, we're good operators of businesses. This is a business. It's different than some of the other businesses we run. But if we apply our operating discipline to a sports and entertainment franchise, we could do a pretty good job together. So it was a little bit of ego, maybe a little bit of stupidity, a little bit of, like, this will be a lot of fun, and a little bit of, we think we're good operators, and that's how we got involved.
When you were going through on your purchase of the club and dealing with Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, what was it like dealing with those two gentlemen, and did you have any experience dealing with them before, and do you have any kind of interesting stories to share?
Well, I had some prior sports experience at being a lawyer. I had represented Major League Baseball, actually, in a bunch of financings, and so I was familiar with the leagues, and my old law firm had a sports and entertainment practice, and so it was definitely something that I had encountered. You know, I think Vinny and Gary immediately hit it off. You know, they're both, and as did I with those two guys, we're all kind of New Yorkers. We have the benefit of being in New York City. That's where our main business is. And so it's very easy to go back and forth to the NHL. I think, frankly, they were very happy and pleased to meet us because, you know, Florida's been a franchise, I'm sure we're going to talk about it, that's had a lot of instability, a lot of different owners, a lot of GMs, a lot of coaches, and frankly, not a lot of success on the ice. And to get, you know, two energetic guys, you know, with resources that were you know, excited and maybe dumb enough to take on a big challenge. You know, I think the league was very happy about it. I mean, Bettman and Daly and the entire staff have been unbelievably gracious with their time and extremely, really helpful in terms of us looking at ticketing and looking at how we run our marketing campaigns and what we do with sponsorship and whatnot. They've got a wealth of experience, and so really a terrific resource for us.
Doug, was there anything about the vetting process that the NHL put you through that surprised you, or is that all something you've dealt with before?
I'll be honest with you, it was pretty intrusive, and I think that's a great thing, I guess. I think they learned a lot from maybe some of the mistakes of the mid-90s where you had guys who came in who weren't obviously what they were. You know, the guy that owned the Islanders for a brief moment who apparently didn't have any money, the Spanos guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was great in a way because I learned a lot about myself, how much money I'm worth, where all my accounts are. It was an incredibly detailed process, let's put it that way, unbelievably thorough vetting process. And so I, for the first time in my life, I had to put together a balance sheet, you know, so now my wife is very happy I'm organized. So that was a real positive.
Joined by Doug Cifu, co-owner of the Florida Panthers, on Saturday Spotlight on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Doug, last year you were quoted as saying that the Panthers were losing approximately $100,000 a day. What's been done to remedy that financial strain on the team?
Well, we're going to lose money this year. Not as much as that, but we're going to lose money this year. We've done a number of things. First and foremost, we didn't cut our investment on the hockey team. In fact, our payroll went from the high 50s to we're playing around $65 million this year, which for the Panthers is clearly a record high, and we're $4 million from the cap, as you fellows know. So that's the one thing we did not sacrifice. We did a lot of streamlining on the non-hockey side. We did simple things like previously, we operate the arena down there. It's called the BB&T Center. And previously, all the cleaning and housekeeping and security and ushers and landscaping and pest control, believe it or not, all those services had been outsourced. We brought those in-house and, you know, literally are saving millions and millions of dollars doing that. The other thing which we've done, and it's been, you know, reported a lot, and people have talked a lot about our attendance, and I'm happy to talk about all those things, is we've really changed the way that we market and ticket the team. We actually reduced ticket prices, but stopped a lot of comp tickets and a lot of heavy discounting then of season ticket prices and whatnot. And so our net intake, if you will, of ticketing revenue hasn't suffered. It's actually gotten better this season, although our attendance numbers are down.
You talk about, you know, that price integrity. How do you balance like the public perception of that with the bottom line?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, we looked at the brand and we looked at the franchise and said something really dramatically has to change. First and foremost, we want to have a great hockey team and win the Stanley Cup and be in the playoffs and give the fans in South Florida a team that they can be proud of. That's the first thing. The second thing is we looked at Chicago circa 2003, 2004, the Blackhawks as a model, and Dale Tallon, our GM, was there and actually was instrumental in helping us think about this. And what Chicago went through, the same things that Florida is going through right now, that the Panthers are going through right now. They had, you know, inflated attendance numbers historically because, you know, tickets had become complimentary or heavily discounted. And there's a lot of, you know, if you go to the blogs, you can see some of the promotions that were previously done. Our view it was, and this was echoed by Dale and other experts we spoke to, was if you're a season ticket holder and you're paying $100 for 41 games, and the guy sitting either next to you or on the row behind you got his tickets on StubHub for $5 or $10 because they were given away free or they're deeply discounted, that's not a good value proposition. Like, to me, that's basic ticketing 101. That's really what had happened. And so the loyal fans, the loyal hockey fans, had been disenfranchised not only because of the poor performance on the ice, but also because of the lack of price integrity and transparency. And so our decision was, we're going to take the pain of smaller crowds, but we're going to know, like last night, we had a really nice crowd in the building, if you will, which was very vocal, was very loud. And you know what? Everybody that was in the building last night paid to be in the building. I'm very happy about that.
It's really interesting. You talk about Dale Tallon, his experience in Chicago, really building the Blackhawks very much to the team they are today. The core that he put together is still there. We had Jay Feaster on our show about a year ago, just before he had left Calgary, and he was a general manager there. And we asked him about being general manager in Calgary versus being general manager in Tampa Bay. And he talked about the responsibilities in Tampa being not only building the team, but also being able to kind of make the team something that people want to come to in Tampa Bay. So his job wasn't just hockey, it was also on promoting the squad. Does Dale have that same responsibility, or is that those responsibilities been compartmentalized a bit?
No, 100%. I mean, the way I look at our franchise, I mean, we have a saying in Virtuland, which is where I work, that titles are meaningless, right? So Dale's the general manager. We have Rory Babich as our president and CEO. Those are all great titles. But at the end of the day, we're all in this together. And there's not a better sponsor person, not a better representation of the Florida Panthers than Dale Tallon. I mean, first of all, the guy is a hockey whisperer, as I call it, right? He knows everything about the game. He's been playing hockey since he was 4 or 5 years old. His dad bought him his first pair of skates. I think he told me when he was 4. He was a fantastic player. He's forgotten more today about hockey than I'll ever know. And so we view him as a resource, not only on the hockey side, but he's a terrific, articulate, engaging person that our sponsors and, frankly, our fans want to get close to and want to spend time with. So in a non-traditional hockey market, it's very important that not only your hockey personnel, but also your players are unbelievably solicitous and accommodating to fans. The players that we have actually really enjoy it. Sean Thornton is a perfect example. Wonderful guy. I obviously got to know him. He signed as a free agent this year. Sean's come up to me and to Vinny and said, anything I can do for this franchise, I'll do. He volunteers, you know, in the community. Is going to one of the children's hospitals in Broward County, literally today. He volunteers to come to fan forums. Those are the kind of things in a non-traditional market are really, really value-adding to our season ticket holders that are very, very important.
Joined by Doug Cifu on the Saturday Spotlight, co-owner of the Florida Panthers. Doug, you talk about Sean Thornton, one of the free agents you brought into Sunrise this year. signing free agents generally for the Panthers, you know, it's a pretty appealing place. Florida, the taxes, the weather. and some people talk about, you know, different things too, maybe the pressure or lack thereof as opposed to playing in Canada. What was the courting process like this offseason as you guys signed Boland and obviously Jokinen, and you mentioned Thornton and Willie Mitchell? How did that go, and do you see that, you know, changing at all moving forward?
First of all, you're right. You know, if anybody wants to sign me as a free agent, I'm more than happy to go down to Florida. It's a beautiful place to live, nice style of living, no state taxes, which in the U.S. is a big deal. So, you know, if you play for the Rangers and you want to play for the Panthers, you get yourself a 13% raise. Anybody mm-hmm. listening to the show that wants to come, that's a huge advantage. That's the first thing. We were very methodical about July 1st this year. You know, we started, you know, we're very involved with Dale in terms of trying to, you know, one, create a budget that makes sense, but two, pick the right people, the right character folks for our team. And so we started from a list of, frankly, every UFA. We obviously knew we had some needs. We had two great young centermen, Barkov and Bukestad. We wanted an experienced centerman. We wanted a fourth-line center that could anchor our team for a long time. We wanted a right winger with some grit. We wanted a scorer that we could pair with a Barkov. And we wanted, frankly, also a backup goalie that we could be confident on those 10 to 15 to 20 games where Luongo couldn't play. There wouldn't be a material drop-off in skill level. And then finally, we knew we had to make our blue line deeper and better. And so those were really the pressing needs. We put everybody on a piece of paper and a little bit into a computer and preference them. And frankly, we had six top picks, if you will. We got every one of them. We got everybody that we wanted in free agency. And they were targeted, one, for their skill, but also, two, for their character. I mean, Willie Mitchell, I'd never met the man, and Dale Talon said to me, he's going to be the next captain of the Florida Panthers. You're going to love this guy. I met him, Vinny and I met him in early, I guess, mid-September, when right around training camp started. He spoke for about 5 minutes to Vinny and I. We looked at each other and said, this guy's the captain of the Florida Panthers. He's an unbelievable, perfect signing for our team, just as an example.
Really interesting. And, you know, I think the stability of the franchise, we mentioned off the top the performance of Roberto Luongo so far. How was acquiring Roberto Luongo stabilize the franchise?
Oh, what a gift. I mean, what an absolute gift that hopefully we'll keep giving. And people talk about his contract. I mean, you know, to me, the guy is, first of all, he wanted to come back. Mm-hmm. He wanted to play in Florida. He's got family there. His wife was from around 10 minutes from the arena. He had obviously had been there. He spent all summer, even when he was on Vancouver, training in our practice facility. So the guy effectively has been a Panther, mm-hmm. you know, for the last, you know, 10, 12 years. When Dale called me, I was actually in a meeting when he called me when he was making this deal with Vancouver, and he said, you know, they've offered us Luongo for X, Y, and Z, and here's how much salary they're going to retain. It literally took me under 8 seconds to say do it, because to me that was such a monumentally important move for our franchise. I mean, literally every game when the guy's in net, you know that you're in the game. You know that you're in the game. I mean, he played so well last night for us. I had no doubt we were going to win that game.
It's really interesting talking about, you know, building a team, and you talk about free agency and then acquiring a goaltender via trade, and you talked about Dale Talon. Gerard Gallant, I was reading about his hiring process and you and Vinny being convinced pretty quickly that he was the right guy. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Vinny, just by background, Vinny is a brilliant man, an unbelievable entrepreneur, one of my best friends, and a real, real gentleman. You know, he's made his living being very instinctive. He grew up, if you will, in a trading pit of 200 guys, mostly guys in the New York Mercantile Exchange downtown, and you had to be instinctive and read people and have a gut reaction to a market and to people, okay? And so when, you know, we obviously Dale does all the screening, and we said, Dale, talk to anybody you want. Give us the five or six names of the finalists. We'll have them come to New York, and we'll spend some time with them at Virtu. And I think he intentionally put Gallant first because it was presumably his first choice. Gerard came here. We sat in a conference room, and we started talking, and I just liked the guy, you know, immediately. I liked his demeanor. I liked his hockey knowledge. I liked his modesty. I liked his honesty. I liked his transparency. I had him draw up a couple power plays. I really didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but it sounded like he knew what he was talking about. And I said, all right, if I'm a 22-year-old kid and this guy's drawing up a bunch of X's and O's, you know, he makes sense to me. And I saw the fire in his eye. And obviously I knew him as a player. I mean, he's a guy who scored 40 goals and had 200 penalty minutes, which shows a great deal of skill and grit, if you will. And Vinny then spent a half hour with him, walked out, and said, this is the guy. He said, if you want me to see anybody else, that's okay, but this is the guy. We'd already set up another 5 interviews, so we went through them, and they were very talented, you know, top-notch people, but none of them had that initial draw that Gerard did. He was the right person for our franchise. We've got a young team, and we wanted someone that could relate to the young players. Obviously, he knows Huberto, or Huberto, as he always says it, from juniors. And, you know, so equally could relate to the Willie Mitchells, but to the Barkoffs, the Bukesteds, the Gubransons, the Huberdos. He's a great teacher. He has zero ego about him. No ego about him at all. No pretense about him. So he's perfect for our franchise.
Joined by Doug Cifu in the Saturday Spotlight on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Doug, who's more old school, Dale Tallon or Bill Torrey?
You know, it's like, you know, they're like an old married couple. I love just, you know, like yesterday before the game, this is one of the benefits, I guess, of being an owner. I went up to Dale's office in the arena and literally we're just kind of, you know, BSing, if you will, with Dale and Mr. Torrey. It's like literally talking to two hockey oracles. You know, we're talking about, you know, frankly, players I didn't even know from 40 years ago. And then we start talking about Bobby Orr, and Dale says, oh, yeah, Bobby's coming to the game tonight. Do you want to meet him? And I said to myself, do I want to meet Bobby Orr? I mean, you know, it's like, say, you know, asking me, do I want a cheeseburger? So, you know, 20 minutes later, I'm there hanging out with Bobby Orr, which is just like a thrill of a lifetime for a kid who's, you know, grew up as a hockey fan. But, you know, they're, you know, Mr. Torrey is still the heart and soul of the organization. He's unbelievably vibrant. You know, he's, you know, built a number of organizations and obviously was the founder of the Panthers franchise. And so he is just a great resource to Dale. They watch every game together. They sit in the press box together. They're unbelievably telepathic. I don't think it needs to be spoken. And Dale bounces everything off them. So they're a terrific combination.
You know, Doug, there's been a big infusion of analytics into the game of hockey and in NHL and even on broadcast now. What's the Panthers' thoughts on that? And are you kind of on that curve?
Yeah, no, we're definitely on the bandwagon. And I know people like to write about it and talk about it. And Toronto's done some stuff very publicly, and everybody loves Moneyball, that kind of stuff. You know, we make our money and our living based on technology and data. We run probably the largest electronic market making firm in the world, and it's connected to hundreds of markets, and we literally process, as you guys would say, you know, millions and millions of orders and trades every day, and literally just, you know, thousands and thousands of lines of code and trading data, and we harmonize all that, and from that we trade based on that information. Okay, so it's very, very important of what we do. And so you know, we bought the franchise about a year ago. We ran into Vinny's a West Pointer, and so we got introduced to a math professor named Brian McDonald, who was a brilliant math professor at West Point, who happened to also be a bit of a hockey nut, big hockey fan, had done some work with the West Point hockey team. Eric Joyce, who's our new AHL general manager, was a West Point hockey player. He knew Professor McDonald, introduced us. We love Brian, and, you know, scroll forward a year later, he's our full-time analytics person, and he works with, you know, a couple other guys. And he provides great real-time information to both the coaching staff, but also to Dale and to myself and to Vinny.
Final question for you, Doug. I appreciate you giving your time today. The Panthers play up here in the middle of January, and then the Jets play down in Florida in March. What's more likely, you to come up here for a beautiful minus 40 day or a bunch of Jets fans to go down to Florida?
No, you're going to laugh because you think I'm saying this to be nice to you guys, but I have never been to that part of the world. I actually said to Vin it would be a great thing to go up to Winnipeg and to you know, Edmonton and Calgary. I said to Dale, I said, you know, you can tell I've become a hockey lunatic because the other night I got home. I live up here in New York, and, you know, went home to see my wife and my two kids, and my son was watching some show. I said, give me the remote. I said, the Jets are playing the Islanders, and I got to root for the Jets because the Islanders are on this win streak in the Eastern Division. So I actually watched the Jets play the other night, and I think they won 4-3.
They did.
Yeah, and what's his name? Ladd had a great game, so I was screaming for young Mr. Ladd. So, you know, I know your team. I know your team. You're not as good as the Panthers, but I know your team.
Impressive. Doug Cifu, co-owner of the Florida Panthers, thanks very much for joining us on Saturday Spotlight on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Anytime. Great to be with you guys.